In this Lenten series, we've been exploring following Jesus and what that really means. The steps Jesus really took, the words Jesus said and commanded of us who call ourselves followers of Christ. There's been difficult lessons, and today is no different. Perhaps the most difficult. From Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 to 48. Love for enemies. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. It's that easy. This is, by the way, one of my favorite and least favorite verses. It is so difficult and so correct. It seems so simple and impossible. It's that easy. Be perfect. Have you tried that yet? Well, you're too poor, too sad, too tired. Have you tried being perfect? Not getting along at work? Don't feel like you belong in whatever social setting you may be in? Broken, struggling, feeling unloved? Have you tried being perfect yet? That should do it. That's not what he's saying. And as many translations as we have of the scriptures, this is one that has still been left kind of in old wording. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's old language that doesn't quite connect to us today the way it ought to. I think what Jesus is saying is love more like God who loves perfectly. Have you tried that? That makes more sense. It's impossible to be perfect. It's impossible to love perfectly. But what Jesus is saying is that there's been teachings within the church in his day and today that you've heard it said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. It's not in Scripture, but it was being taught, and perhaps still is, that you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And Jesus says, you've heard that being said, but that's not what the kingdom of God is like. God loves perfectly. And therefore, we should love perfectly, or at least love more like God who loves perfectly. The example he uses is perfect. Where we've drawn these lines between who we should love and who we should not. Jesus says, who does the rain fall on? Who does the sun shine on? The one who created and offers the sun lets it shine on every person. The one who created and offers the rain lets it fall on every person. It's like that in the kingdom of God. God loves like that. Therefore, we ought to love more like that. More like God, the one who loves perfectly. It's difficult. It's probably the most difficult thing Jesus says for us to do. We say, love one another all the time. And yet we fail. We draw lines. We delineate between the ones we think. We put labels on people who ought not to receive the rain. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine your road, your neighborhood, and the fences between each property, and those fences delineated where the rain was falling and where the sun was shining? Can you imagine that neighborhood of squared off clouds raining on one property and the sun shining on the next? I think even in that setting, we would say, we would make labels. I would stand on my side of the fence looking over at the rain and the neighbors and say, God must not be happy with you today. Look how the sun is shining over here. But what if that kept happening and it never rained on my side? It would be a desert. We need both the sun and the rain, and God offers both to every person. To every person under the heavens, the sun and the rain. There is no delineation. Why do we draw the lines then? He said that you've heard it said that we ought to love our neighbors and hate our enemies. He wasn't just saying that. That was what was being taught. But this lesson is more than just a lesson. It's more than a teaching. It's the actual blueprint for what heaven looks like. It's the actual blueprint for the kingdom of God existing on earth as it is in heaven. This must be achieved. Do we love our enemies perfectly, just like God loves our enemies? Just like God lets the sun shine and the rain fall on every perfect person perfectly, just like God called us to love, just like God's love pours out on every person, we ought also to love like that. I remember vividly, we talked in the last couple of weeks about our time in the Deep South. Amy and I lived down there during Hurricane Katrina. And I remember vividly watching that take place and driving to work and hearing on the Christian radio stations the sin that this must be for. This must be the result of the sin that's taking place in New Orleans. This is God's wrath. This devastation, this storm is God's wrath. They were saying that. When sometimes all that people had were emergency radios for months, the only electricity they had was enough to power an emergency radio. Can you imagine getting a radio signal and then hearing that? They were saying it as if that same rain didn't hit them, as if that same wind didn't land upon them, as if the same sun didn't shine upon them. And my heart broke for those people that were displaced, being told that it was because they were an enemy of God? Why do we draw these lines between who gets the rain and who doesn't. What does heaven look like? In your imagination right now, what is heaven? Is it this? Is it this room? I mean, I love you all, but I hope not. I hope it's not just us. Is it your loved ones? I hope so. But also I hope it's not just the loved ones. Karl Barth, the famous theologian from the 1920s and 30s and 40s, when they asked him what about this scripture, what does heaven look like then? Is it our loved ones? And he said, not just the loved ones. Not just the loved ones. But the hated ones. The enemy. Who's the enemy in your mind? Do they have a place in heaven? Do they have a place in your heart? He was ridiculed for saying that. For saying not just the loved ones, but perhaps the enemies too. Jesus calls us into this counterculture. The culture of his day was telling people that we should love each other, to love our neighbor, yes, but to pick and choose who our neighbors were, who was worthy of that love. The teaching of the day was calling for lines to be drawn, as if we could part the rain or the sun or God's love. It was counterculture. This thing that Jesus was saying stirred the pot. But it was more than a saying, more than a teaching. He put it into action. And he was ridiculed for it. We even have scriptures that say we ought not to eat or drink with the unrighteous, with the immoral. We should cast them out. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians. Yet Jesus, he was ridiculed for doing just that, for eating with the taxpayer, for associating with the leper, for loving the prostitute, for healing the unwell, the ones that the church, the nation, the people had called unworthy of such love. That's the path. It's a difficult path. We sometimes achieve it. We sometimes do well. But also, often not. May this new vision, may this be for us Jesus' vision of what real love looks like in action. May it be our path outward from this place. May we follow it in Jesus' own footsteps. May we leave no person aside. May we cast out our labels of who is worthy of the rain and who is worthy of our love. May the sun who shines on all humankind illuminate this path before us. Amen. I invite you to stand and join in our